Northern New York Community Podcasts, stories from the heart of our community.
Hi, folks, and welcome to the Northern New York Community Podcast. I'm your host, Max Del Signor. We have a great episode in store for you. In this edition of the podcast, we head to Lewis County to talk about philanthropy's overall impact in the region, influential figures that have promoted and demonstrated charitable giving, and why this specific area boasts a genuine spirit for community betterment. We are fortunate to have two Lewis County residents with us to touch on these topics and more. Don Hunt and Joe Widrick each have unique stories behind their participation in community philanthropy, but they will also share how Grasshopper Baseball helped forge their lifelong friendship. Don and Joe, thanks for being on the podcast with us.
Thank you for having us.
So to start, too, it's very excited to hear your stories about philanthropy in Lewis County. And philanthropy, I think, sometimes can be a scary word to the public. I think it has a meaning that may not necessarily be clear to most. But obviously, philanthropy isn't just what you give financially, but your time, your talent, your resources, strengths that you put into a community. What do you see as the culture of philanthropy in Lewis County, given the time that you've resided in that area?
Well, my experience has been, as any projects I would have been involved in, why it's usually pretty easy to, there's a number of people that I can call on that can usually get some responses. And one of the things that I find is most of them are in my age bracket, which is something we'll probably be talking about later. But
which is old.
Which is old.
You guys aren't that old.
to get younger people involved.
And that's, I echo that. In there's some good organizations that are, you can't say getting long in the tooth, but they just are having trouble keeping up the numbers. It falls to fewer and fewer members to try to maintain the activity and the funding for it. And it's a little bit scary in some things. So how do you get younger people involved? And if you can get them excited, they'll come along. But there is that out there that is a trend that needs addressing, needs to be worked on.
Is there a local organization in Lewis County or even a community group that has done a pretty good job or is doing a good job of capturing that younger generation or at least trying to instill some more of that volunteerism in them?
Oh yeah, off the top of our head, the ones, the Lewis County Fair, they're in their 196th year, and they have an amazing cadre of volunteers that comes into town for, it's just 1 week a year, but there's a lot of work goes on before and after, and the funding and that of it, and they get us all involved in one way or another. And they've had some really good leaders. Dr. Harry O'Connor was one that just passed away, but his successor, Doug Hanno, and there's a long list of ones before that. But they've kept the agricultural flair as a fair. And you talk, if you go around the grounds during that week and you see people from away and they say, well, I'm from this county or I'm from up north, but we bring our kids to the Lewis County Fair. This is still a fair. It's family oriented and we can enjoy it here.
And there is quite a few younger generation involved in that. That's one of the areas. I think probably one of the areas that there's more younger generation involved than most and than a lot of the others that we're.
And part of it's because they're tied to the school. They share the ball fields and that kind of thing. So there is a younger element that's tied to the fair than maybe some others. But it's a lot of work for 1 week, but it's the continuity's there and they're able to excite the community. And one down the other end of the county is the Boonville Black River Museum. Now there's museums we usually think of as old and, you know, haven't been around a while, but they're in there, if I'm right, just about 10 years. And they started that on the edge of the canal there in Boonville, and a dedicated group. They wanted to build a canal boat and built the buildings to go along with it. And every year you go down through there, they're adding something to it. And it's a great, great thing for, again, the kid or youth element is good to it. You can go in there and play with a canal boat and watch, learn how a lock works, and it it's a great place. And there's Ed Finmore and his crew down there. They just keep going. But you'd have to tell him. But I don't know how many kids involved in that. You can go by, I think it's Tuesday mornings, and you'll see all the cars in the lot there, and they're having their board meeting to get ready for what they're going to do next. But it's worth a visit every other year, every year as far as that goes.
Don, you mentioned ball fields, and I think that's a good segue. So you and Joe met on a baseball field playing grasshopper when you were younger.
Yep.
Tell the story about how you guys kind of first became friends, or teammates, I guess, in this respect.
Well, it's about 19...
Well, you don't want to tell them that date.
Huh?
You don't want to tell them the date.
Okay. They verify it. But anyway, it's Lowville in the 1946 to 50 area. Kiwanis is sponsoring grasshopper baseball, which was predated Little League, and it wasn't... We didn't have any fancy uniforms or anything else, but we played during the summer. And that's where we met. And then I went on to Glenfield, left Glenfield, graduated from General Martin, played ball there. I didn't hook up again with Joe until after we were both grown. I was came back here to practice as a CPA, and Joe was working in his family business, and we reacquainted after quite a long period of time, after 15 years, but it didn't take us long to kind of get back together, and we've been working similar organizations from then till now.
Was Don a good baseball player? No, I'd have to put him on the spot.
He was a left-handed pitcher, a very good pitcher, and threw a lot of curveballs.
I promise there won't be any curveballs the rest of the interview just because for that. Joe, tell me a little bit about where you grew up too. You know, as Don stated, you had met when you were younger, kind of went your separate paths, graduated school, started in the family business. Just for the listeners, share a little bit about your backstory.
Grew up in the big city of Croghan, New York. From there we moved to Lowville, graduated from Lowville School. My dad started the John Deere business in 1938, and I got involved in that and with my brother in 1962 actually, and then he and I bought my father out in about 1968, and it's been passed on to a third generation in 1983, and now it's recently been sold about 4 years ago was recently sold. So I have four children, two boys, two girls, two of them in this area, the others are ones in Texas and ones in Pennsylvania. I have a lovely wife, Shirley, who has been married for 57 years.
Wow. So, I won't ask how you met Shirley, but if you want to share, you can.
She was a blind date.
She was?
Yeah, she was blind. No, I didn't.
No.
No. She had never met me, but a friend of hers asked me to go out with her, or asked her to go out with me, and she agreed. The rest is history.
That's right. Now, Don, you said you were born in Watertown, correct?
Yeah, I was born here in Watertown, the House of Good Samaritan, when it looked a lot different than it does now. But we moved to Lewis County when I was 8, and so I can't be a native of Lewis County, but I'm fairly close. And my dad built the IGA store in Glenfield. We ran that for a while, and then he had a better project at Branningham, where he bought an old boathouse. He really needed a project to keep his two sons off the street, and it really worked, because we complained about it, but it was a great experience. And probably the best part of it, that's how I met Donna. She was working as a waitress at Branningham Inn, now been torn down for some time. And July 25th, 1957, we met, and as Joe says, the rest was history. So, and we've been together 55 years, so he got a couple year head start on us. But we've been, the couples have been friends for all that time. So.
And for your career too, Don, you were a CPA for many years, correct?
I was, yeah. Joe mentioned the date when he came back into the business, and it wasn't soon after that I started doing that type of work for Woodrick & Sons, and did it for a lot of years. And then I retired to be an investment advisor, so with all the same clients, they all grew up, and I could help in that respect.
You mentioned too the connections. I mean, not just baseball, but obviously professions kind of brought you back together and really forged these relationships and in a lot of ways friendships too. In Lewis County and much in Northern New York, a lot of these community causes and efforts are really made possible because everybody does come together for a concerted effort. Are there a couple of good examples that stick out in your minds of projects or efforts, causes that happened in Lewis County that really made a difference or an impact with everybody kind of coming together?
Probably the one that shows the most from the road is the Maple Ridge Project in Lowellville. Pratt Northam became aware that the horse farm there was in bankruptcy and was going to be sold. And we said, if we could acquire this piece of property and keep it in strong hands until the community could figure out what to do with it, what were the best and highest and best uses of it. So the board came together. It wasn't an easy decision, but came together, acquired the property, and set out first to the community to say, how can this property be used? And the buildings were there, but there was other acreages that, you know, many things could happen with. So we set out on that, and one of the first people that showed some interest and had some plans for it was, then it was Beaver Camp for Boys, it was called, but then the Maple Ridge name was attached to it. And Joe was there, if not out front, just behind the scenes, as he very often is, saying, well, maybe we can do something here. I'll let him pick it up from there. But
well, what happened is that Beaver Camp, I guess I wouldn't say acquired the property, but I guess that's the word to use, but they didn't, there wasn't really any money involved. So
the price was right.
The price was right. But they've done quite a few things there, community events that they have done over the years and worked along with Pratt Northam on a number of the things. And it's been something that it's got a lot of community use from young people, from children, and even it's a lot of adult programs that they've done over the years.
Tube Toe is the latest for the youngest. Joe's instrumental in getting that done. And it's still a work in progress because there's acreage that wasn't going to be used, and the Pratt Northam group was mindful. We took property off the tax roll, so we had some obligation to try to put something back. And we did. We thought first about developing it ourselves, but we had some board members who said that isn't where we ought to go, and that we all agreed on that. But then we did find somebody, and a very unusual fellow, and now there's 18 to 20 affordable homes on the project. It has attracted many from Fort Drum, even though they had to move the line a little bit in order to make it qualifying so that they could be close enough to Fort Drum for some of the personnel to be able to live there. That's going on. The fellow has acquired some other acreage, so that's going to grow, and that put many times the assessed value back on the rolls, and it brought 18, 20 new families into the school district, and so it's certainly a multiplier effect, and just the fact that what we set out, it's in strong hands for ideas to develop, that maybe if it had just been let to go to bankruptcy, that couldn't have developed. And there's other acreage left. We had hopes for some of it to be for a park, not unlike Watertown's Thompson Park. That was the original goal. That may not happen, but they're talking possibility of a community college extension there, an extension of Jefferson County Community College being on site in Lewis County for things related to employment occupations in the county. So it's not a given, but it's something that's out there, and it's not precluded because we haven't got to do anything with I'm retired from Pratt Northam now, but the boys behind, they're still working on it.
Well, you mentioned it's a good segue, Don. You know, you had quite a long tenure of participation in the Pratt Northam Foundation. And for the listeners that aren't aware of what the foundation's background is, could you share just a snapshot of, you know, its founding and what the foundation has done for Lewis County?
Well, I just can tell you a little bit about it.
Sure.
But I think the easiest way into it is part of my tenure on the board, along with the others, we published a book in 1997 called Pratt Northam Foundation, A History. It was written by Robert Rich, editor and publisher of the Carthage Republican Tribune. And it traces the Pratt family history, Pratt Northam Foundation, and Hazel Northam, who was instrumental in it. And for history buffs, why you should be able to get that book in any local library. We, as soon as we published it, we went around the counties, well, Boonville to Carthage, our area, and populated all the libraries with that book. We did get a surprise that one day one showed up on the internet, and we couldn't figure out quite how that would be, that they weren't for sale anywhere. But anyway, so we're not sure that they're all in all the libraries. But anyway, if folks want to go out there and look for the book, and if it isn't there, let us know, and we'll make sure they get a copy again, or contact me or somebody. We'll figure out how to get it. But it, you know, it tells the whole story, which is very, very interesting. But its roots were after Walter Pratt died, and as the money came to his niece, at one point she said she didn't want this. It was too much responsibility, and what could they do with it? And her lawyer at that time said, well, what about a foundation? And she says, let's do it. And so when she passed, there was about $1 million came to the Pratt Northam Foundation. And a board was appointed, and their focus was scholarships at first, and that proceeded for about 10, 12 years. And that group got older and thought, well, you know, what should we do with this? Or how long was this supposed to last? And at one point there was a plan to give half to Syracuse University and half to St. Lawrence and let them run the scholarships. But a local fellow, Dick Cummings, said, well, I think I got a better idea. Give me a little time. And he rounded up some additional board members, some younger board members, and some new ideas, and expanded the coverage of it. That's when I happened to come aboard, and it was probably the luckiest thing that could ever happen to me. But this expansion, we went from scholarship to workerships. Now, if you put into your computer, if you put workership in, it'll say either there's no such word or it isn't spelled right, but it shows that the rest of the world is behind Lewis County because we have workerships. And workership is a not-for-profit organization is encouraged to create a job that a college-bound student could work at. They're paid minimum wage. It was 400 hours. It varies some now, I believe. So they got paid, and in return, the organization got the services of the student. Well, in the best of situations, why that the work that they're doing is somehow related to their hope for career. If we do that, we figure that's really exceptional. We've had examples where not only did they work in their field, but they came back to Lewis County to practice that. And we used to call that a home run among evaluating the workerships. And there are all kinds of gradations of that in between of what the workership could do. Great examples. But the book tells you, if you go to the book, that will also tell you some of these things. Since 1979, when they took this track, they've awarded something over $3.2 million in workerships, and they've covered a great panoply of things. And that's about, they decided to devote about half of the expenditures go to workerships, and the other half go to what we called youth and small C culture. And I say small C. Capital C would be ballet and symphony. We didn't do a lot of that, but we did do musical groups in the communities. Stage, summer stage was a favorite one. Libraries, you name it. But there again, the book will give you some detail. Well, the website is a good place to go there to give you an example of that. That's prattnortham.org.
Okay.
And there are updates on some of the things there, and it's just I don't think there are many organizations of any substance that haven't been touched. You know, haven't been figure out how to get some help for the summer and work that through.
The foundation also does its own general grant making as well, correct? Or in its historically, has it done to support?
Well, that's what these all are.
Right.
They encourage to all the not-for-profits, I would say, are encouraged to make a grant request and different methods. Sometimes it's a matching grant. They can ask for all money, but sometimes that isn't there. Well, we'll match what you're going to do in cash or some other stipulation. So, but each grant stands on its merit, whether it's the first time or repeat one. But there's a board there of 12 or so members, all on the website, so that you can
we'll send folks there.
So, yeah.
we could put the link on the page.
Yeah. Well, it's not unlike the Community Foundation in that sense, that you've got a pool of money, a reliable source, a stream of income, and you've got a engaged board trying to figure out how to allocate that, and it's worked.
You know, through all the things that have happened in Lewis County and all the great projects that you both have been a part of, participation is a result of having some of those values within. And you know, for each of you, you've demonstrated philanthropy in your different ways, but there's got to be that willingness. Joe, for you, what really inspired you to be willing to give back in your community? Where did some of those values come from?
Oh, I can't really put my finger on anything special. I guess just observing other people, different people that I saw, different projects. I know a number of people that just get really involved in all volunteer work with different organizations, or if there's a need someplace, why there's different people that I know of and that I'm friends with that are the first ones to step out and get involved. I think that's what probably, I think by observing some other people of what they do in that respect really has helped me. There again, there's a lot of different names. I hesitate to say them because you always forget somebody, but there's a number of them that, if I had a project, I'd have to, project that I was going to get involved in that I could, in 10 minutes, I know half a dozen or better people I can call and they'd be there.
Are there folks, and a question for both of you, are there folks, I know you don't want to single anybody out, but are there a handful of names, you know, folks who have been instrumental in moving some projects along in Lewis County or seeing them to fruition that you think have stood out or have been really the integral pieces to making some things happen? Who would some of those names be?
Funny you should ask. Each year there's a Donald Extrud Community Service Award. They have to be nominated for consideration by a Pratt Northam member. They don't do one every year. They just put out their 11th and 20-some years, but I would urge you to go to, if you just type in Donald Exford Community Service Award, you'll find some background of that for that type of thing, and they go from Boonville to Harrisville to Copenhagen to in Carthage, which includes the whole range that Pratt Northam covered. That's where Walter made his money, so the decision was to give back in that area. So, but that service award has some outstanding individuals, and there's quite a range of it. You know.
And the one he's mentioning would be Don Exford. I could say that. I've been involved in a number of different projects with Don, and great example. He was a great example of getting involved in things. He was involved in Maple Ridge. He was involved in Brookside Retirement Community. Very much involved in Brookside Retirement Community, and I was involved in that with him. And
we lost him way too young. That was,
yeah,
was vital in all of this type of thing. He was the first executive director of Pratt Northam, and so he was in that role and out in the community and set a standard that the ones who've had to follow tried to fill their shoes.
If you could, Joe, just for a second, talk about the Brookside project, because I know it's something that you know, was always in the forefront of your mind, and it was something that was important to you. And with Don being somebody who could help you see that to the finish line, what was that project like for you and for the others that kind of helped you?
Well, it started out with Don got involved right after it got started, pretty much, and then there was a period of time that it just kind of was not going any place, and so I offered to give him 6 months of my time, volunteered to get the project off the ground. Six months turned into 2 years. 2 years turned into 20 years. So we're still working at it. But it's been a good project. It's we have an awful lot of people from out of the area that live there now. Senior housing, and there's about 114 residents. My wife and I had worked on four other different projects along with Purcell Construction Company on a volunteer basis, get them up and running. One was in Watertown and Plattsburgh and Auburn, and where was the other one? Oh, Buffalo, but same type of project. But Don Exford was involved in a number of those too.
With all these projects and things that you have participated in together, what's the biggest takeaway, the biggest thing you learned from being a part of a project that it's the impetus and seeing it to the end? What are the key takeaways, things that you learned from that?
Keep digging.
Keep going, yeah.
When you say keep digging, just be persistent?
Don't get discouraged. We had a number of setbacks, especially on the Brookside project, a number of setbacks that we had to overcome. And the first one was we bought some land and spent quite a bit of money on it that didn't turn out at all. That had to be scrapped, had to restart again, and had a good board of directors, and they just kept plugging away and finally got it off the ground.
Are there a couple of, I mean, there are many organizations, in particular nonprofits, that really help serve as kind of the engine for good things happening in Lewis County. Are there a couple in particular that stand out in your mind that are providing great services, have a strong mission, that you think are continuing to make a really important difference in the area?
One thing that they have in the county that it's a little different, but it's a food pantry that gets a lot of people donate to that, and money and food, and I think it does help a lot of needy families in the area. That's one I can think of offhand.
Hospice is another. Having breakfast with two other Pratt Northam former directors, so we were, and they were diving right into that. And I'd forgotten. I did a little list, and that's one that it's been developed in our lifetime, and it's grown and matured, and does a very professional job now. And it's a need that you can't service it any other way. The model is volunteers, but there are also professionals involved, and they found a way to work that through.
There's a number of different projects that I think about, and there are a number of different things that could be happening in a project Don and I have been involved in, which is Maple Ridge. There's a lot of opportunities up there, a lot of things that could be done. We have one big problem. Do you have any idea what that would be?
I don't offhand.
We don't have the money. But there's a number of different community things, some new things that could be developed up there. But we're lacking.
We kid each other and say, well, funds. Joe would say, you know, if we only had $1 million, we could do this. But I've told him he's got to update that for inflation. I think it's probably if we only had $3 million, we could do it.
But that's the problem with every nonprofit.
Well, and looking back too, it's good that Pratt Northam took the proactive step rather to just preserve that asset, to at least foresee a vision for that property to be able to have it as an asset for not just Lowell, for Lewis County. So at the very least, it's protected. How important is sharing some of these philanthropic values that you've each have mentioned with the next generation of leaders who are living in Lewis County and just in Northern New York too.
Well, we touched early about it's hard to get youth, well, parents are very involved in youth sports and they need that on their kids' resumes and that type of thing. So that's kind of detracted from somewhat. Pratt, we kind of recognized that and we kind of skipped the parents and went down to the kids and went to the high schools and created YACs, Youth Activity Councils. Essentially, we're setting up a mini foundation in each of the high schools. So they got $4,000 or $5,000 to issue grants in their school, solicit, ask for grants among the school themselves for projects, and their own board would decide which ones to fund. And so here's your hands-on with 8 or 10 kids and the kids that they touch. So we're hoping that'll plant the seed that they'll always remember that experience. Here's what it's like to give and to work on projects with others. And we're pleased to note that Community Foundation now is doing something quite similar.
We started in our business is when my sons got involved, I told one thing that I had done over the years, told them that it's a good idea to start is we would take not another total employee, but monies like if we would be hiring another employee and put it into a foundation every year. And so then that money kept building up and then it was in a nonprofit, so we could just get at the end of the year, anytime through the year, we could distribute that money to any nonprofit. It had to be to a nonprofit. But that way it gets them in the idea of getting involved like that, and the money's already there. So if you pay for it, just like if you were paying for another employee, you don't miss it. And that's what I think we talked about before, is getting younger people involved. If they could get involved in something like that.
Hopefully it'll carry over. It'll carry on.
How important was it to have those conversations or to get your own either children or families engaged in giving back? I mean, it's something that's very important to both of you, but to impart that to your kids and to other members of your family, how important was it to make them aware that this is a really important thing to do for your community?
Well, I think it's very important, yeah. It's just kind of a way of life then. And I gotta give a lot of that credit to my wife too, because she's very much that way in doing things for other people.
You asked how we got started in that, and I couldn't figure it out, so observing is how it came to you, I think, through what family were doing. It wasn't my family directly, but seeing what other people were doing. But I think the one, and I hadn't thought about it in years, and I thank you for getting me to think about it, but the one was college. Back in our day, I graduated in 1956, and there were Regents scholarships back then. And if you had a Regents diploma, you qualified for a Regents scholarship. And in my case, I went to Syracuse, and it was good for half the tuition. And Syracuse University matched it with the other half. So you had full tuition for 4 years. Now, the catch was it didn't, any increase in tuition, it didn't cover that. But that was really, you know, that was minor compared to, so you go through 4 years of college, you got no debt for the tuition side of it. If you could figure out how to pay your room and board, you were debt-free at the end of that cycle. And so that put, in, at least in my mind, I owe them a debt for that. And so when the contribution request came out, it was not hard at all to get started. First, it was pretty small. And you know, now it's bigger, and it's more than a year's tuition was back then. I haven't been able to match it so that it is anything close to Syracuse's $60,000 or whatever it is now. But that, you know, that's something that it just kind of grew. Nobody told me that, and didn't have another example, but it just kind of grew out of what was there. But for the ones in the campaign there was a thing about free college for everybody. I don't know that that's in the cards, and this wouldn't have done it for everybody, but there was something that was done 60 years ago. It was a pretty good thing. You got anybody could earn the scholarship. If your grades were good, you could get a scholarship. And if you applied it to a New York State school that was offering it, why, it was quite a multiplier effect, and it was pretty self-administering.
If you were sitting in a room of high schoolers right now, and you had to impart a message to the group on why it's important to give back to your community, what would you say to them?
It's the right thing to do, to start with, and if you don't do it, it might not get done. You might be the something that starts the ball rolling for something that your contribution, especially of effort. I mean, in the beginning, as a young person, you don't have many dollars, but you have your time and talent. And if you don't do it, there's something that might not get rolling that would be worthwhile.
I agree with what everything Dad says and said, and to add to that. Especially the younger generation, it isn't just the money you give back, it's your time and effort and their involvement that's probably, in a lot of cases, as important or more important than the dollars that are given there. And because some of these projects are not going to get done unless it's by volunteer help and people that get involved, local people that get involved.
Last question, where can philanthropy, I mean, it already has done this, but where can philanthropy play a role in the county's development and growth in the future?
I struggled with that. That's kind of the cart before the horse, and I have not thought about it than that. Usually it's the other way around. There's some kind of commercial development, and it has some land or something left over that can be the incubator for some not-for-profit. It's hard to see it the other way around, but it worked at Maple Ridge. It happened to work. That whole idea made the housing development possible that probably wouldn't have been otherwise. So it wasn't conscious that we were doing development, but it turned out that we were.
And most nonprofits, most all of them are operating on limited funds. And the only way they can really, from the financial end, the only way they can really expand where dollars are needed is if there's money donated.
I think it's safe to say Lewis County's in a better place, not just because of the collective, but also because of the two of you being able to participate in these projects too. I know you probably wouldn't say that, but I think I'll take the opportunity to mention it here. Many others have contributed along the way with you, but we appreciate you sharing some backstory and context about philanthropy's presence and the difference it's made in Lewis County. And it's been a pleasure having you here on the podcast.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks. Go to that website.
That's right. Go to the website, prattnorthrum.org, correct, Dan? Thanks again to all of you for tuning into this edition of the Northern New York Community Podcast. We're grateful to have the support of WPBS-TV and the Northern New York Community Foundation so we can continue to share these stories about community philanthropy on this platform. Remember, you can subscribe to the podcast by going to iTunes or SoundCloud, either online or on your smartphone, or you can check out our podcast website and listen to all the interviews with the featured photo gallery. Just log on to www.nnycp.org. Thanks again for listening, and stay tuned for more great stories from the heart of our community.
Northern New York Community Podcasts. Stories from the heart of our community.